This morning, like I said, I want to bring a conclusion to our message series of the promise fulfilled. And as I said earlier, as I was preaching it in first service, I was thinking to myself, I used the word complicated a lot in that message. And I was thinking, well, maybe it's Christmas. It's complicated. Because we get the Christmas story, but if you read the Bible in Matthew and Luke, those are the two places where we have some information about Jesus' birth. It's only a couple chapters and we're already in Jesus' ministry. And what I'm going to read for you today is the continuation of chapter 2. We read verse 1 through 21 Friday night. And I want to read for you verse 22 through 40. And right away, Jesus is a baby here, and they're taking him to the temple. But as soon as we're done with that story, there's one more about Jesus being a boy. And then after that, we are pretty much getting right into Jesus' ministry. So by chapter 3 in Luke, we're kind of already getting into it. Matthew, same kind of deal. We're getting some lineage and that kind of stuff. But pretty soon after that, we're right into Jesus' ministry. And the reason I wanted to share this and why I say Christmas, it's complicated, is because we talk about celebrating Christmas and it being joyful and all that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, it's not that for everybody. Not everybody celebrates Christmas for the reason we celebrate Christmas. I mean, Christmas is one of those holidays that is distinctly Christian. And at one time, if within our culture, at least, Christmas was recognized as a distinctly Christian holiday. And so even back in the days when they were, you know, making Christmas songs and carols, they would talk about Santa and Jesus in the same song. I think that's a Gene Autry song. And they just connected them together because it was all about Jesus. Now, if you're celebrating Christmas in Nepal, it's different because that's a Hindu kingdom. They don't celebrate Christmas the way that we do because of the different ways in which the nation of Nepal became a nation. But for ever here in the United States, since its founding, it was celebrated as a Christian holiday, and yet the culture seems to be veering away from it being a Christian holiday. And in our culture, we have lots of holidays that aren't distinctly Christian that we observe or celebrate. You know, we have Memorial Day and Labor Day, and I don't know who made up the day Valentine's Day, but a made-up holiday like that, Valentine's Day. Not that I'm not going to get you anything, honey, okay? Don't worry. But Christmas is one of those holidays that we only celebrate Christmas because of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And yet, maybe you were at some gatherings where that's not why everybody was celebrating Christmas. And I was thinking to myself as I was reading over this and, you know, getting ready to share this message that Christmas is complicated. It's kind of gotten a little bit more complicated than it used to be, but it is complicated. And in fact, we see that being stated very clearly in Luke in chapter 2, that it is complicated. If you read Matthew's take on it, when the Magi come and they are looking for this child who has been born king of the Jews, and they're saying it to the guy who's supposedly king of the Jews. And so after that, Jesus and his family flees from where they live because Herod's trying to find them. And so this joyous celebration of Christmas is actually not that joyous if you read through Matthew. And in fact, one of the things I'm going to read for you here with what Simeon says, we're instantly kind of confronted with what it means, the reality that Jesus has come and what that actually means for Israel and for the Gentiles. That's everybody that's not Israel. And it is a little complicated, but it's important that we don't ever lose sight of why we celebrate Christmas. And I was thinking that as I celebrated Christmas with my family, and not everybody in my family are believers. And I was thinking when we get together, what's going through their mind, what's going through their head. And we celebrate it as Christians. That's just what my family does. But there's others that have become a part of our family that from brothers and sisters and some nieces and nephews that not everybody is a believer. And so when we talk about the joy of Christmas, maybe they're wondering, well, why is it so joyful? I don't get that. Because a lot of people experience Christmas Day as a day. That was yesterday. And now you're all tired and exhausted. And you're like, I hope he doesn't go too long today because I am going to fall asleep. Well, you wouldn't be the first person and you won't be the last person, so it's okay. Don't worry about it. But it's a day and it's like, well, now what do we do? And Vince reminded me this morning at first service that there's 12 days of Christmas. We don't recognize that for a long time. That's how Christmas was celebrated, the 12 days of Christmas. But for most of, I would say, our history, it's been kind of like a day. We celebrate. It's Advent leading up to Christmas Day. And then once that day is over, it's just like, now what? Now what do we have to look forward to? And if you're not a believer, I could see why you might feel that way, because there's so much push for that Christmas Day, and then when it's over, it's gone, it's over. But as a follower of Jesus, it's just getting started for us. Our celebration happens that day, and then we are looking forward to the redemption of creation, and specifically all of humanity, through the mission that Jesus is actually on. And that's really what Simeon's going to be talking about here in verses 22 through 40. As Jesus is brought to the temple, and all of these Old Testament prophecies come in and are now being fulfilled as we've been talking about all of Advent, Luke is getting ready in his story about Jesus to tell us why that's so important and the complication that that brings into people's lives because of what Jesus is going to say and do. So let's hear it from Luke's version of the Christmas story. We read that for you on Friday, and now we're going to pick it up in verse 22. So Jesus has been born. The angels were there singing at his birth. The shepherds went and saw, and verse 22 says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. All of this language you're about to hear is all coming from Old Testament stuff. They are simply following the laws of Moses, Joseph and Mary. And that's important to remember. And so part of that law of Moses was to come to the temple and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. This was a sacrifice they offered for their firstborn son. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He's a trustworthy source is what Luke is basically saying here. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Messiah is the one they were all looking for. God would send his Messiah. The Old Testament prophesied about this Messiah. Simeon was one of those devout Jews waiting for the consolation of Israel, when God would finally fulfill that promise. And so he, moved by the Spirit, went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, he has Jesus in his arms, and he praises God, saying, Sovereign Lord, you have as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking at it. It's this baby. My eyes have seen your salvation. He was waiting and longing for it, and he's holding it in his arms. And he says this, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He would be for everyone, not just the Jews, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So already with this joy of this baby salvation, he's holding salvation in his hands. And he points out to the complicated nature of this. He will be the rise and fall of many in Israel. And Luke is already highlighting that Jesus will need to die. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Again, Luke highlighting the veracity of this witness, that she's trustworthy in what she is saying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she's there too. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. After that story, we have the boy Jesus at the temple, and that's kind of it of Jesus's life as a young boy. And we get into his ministry. And Luke is, even in this story of this celebration of Christmas, already highlighting the complicated nature of Jesus's life. One of the things that we've been talking about, I've been sharing throughout Advent, we've been reading lots of different scriptures. All of our first Sunday of Advent, all the way back in November, was pretty much all Old Testament. And even in this brief little story that Luke gives us here, we have him highlighting a very important fact that they observed all the laws of Moses. Everything that was required of this couple with Jesus as someone born under the law. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law, is what Paul writes in Galatians. His parents obeyed all of the laws of Moses, which was important. I mean, if you were a good Jew, that's what you did. And I think what Luke is preparing us for is to see that it wasn't just obedience to this law, but what you're going to discover as you keep reading Luke, that's the intention. You don't stop at chapter 2. You read the rest of Luke, and what you'll discover is that this boy, Jesus, this child that Simeon's holding in his hands, actually fulfills the laws of Moses. He is greater than Moses. Even in chapter 4, we see Jesus being in the desert, tested for 40 days, in fulfillment of what Israel could not do when they were in the desert and being tested. All these things Luke is pointing out is fulfilling all of this Old Testament prophecy that was being said about the Messiah. And so if you haven't gotten this point yet, I'm going to repeat it today. You can't make sense of the Christmas story without the Old Testament. God is in the process of writing the redemptive story. And we get the story about the world and about life, about where it all came from, why we're all here, lots of basics in Genesis chapter 1 through 11. And we also get the story about why is this world so messed up? If God created it and said it was good, why is it the way it is now? All of that's happening in Genesis 1 through 11. And by Genesis chapter 12, God starts writing his story of redemption. And all of that is needed as we lead up to when Jesus comes. And so even in this little section I read for you, in Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 40. There's all these allusions to, or direct quotations from, lots of passages from Isaiah. The purification rites that they were observing, the sacrifice laws that they were observing, coming from the book of Leviticus, coming from the book of Exodus. The reason they were doing this was because of the exodus from slavery in Egypt, when God redeemed Israel there. And they killed a lamb, and they put the blood across their doorposts so that God would pass over, the angel would pass over them. And in that redemption from Israel, they offered this sacrifice for God sparing their firstborn son, because that didn't happen for the Egyptians in the story in the Old Testament. All of this is coming out of the Old Testament, and Luke is just showing us that Jesus, this little baby, is going to fulfill all of these prophecies. God is making clear to the people of this day that the scriptures are being fulfilled. His purposes are being made plain to them. And the only reason we do what we do and celebrate Christmas is because we have it written in these scriptures. We can't walk away from the Bible because it's hard to understand or it's difficult. God has made plain his ways and his purposes. And for us, he's done that through his word. Boy, I would have loved to have been there when he did it in person. To wonder what would God be like if he just showed up on earth. All of the Old Testament prophets are wondering that, thinking that. What would it be like? And here he is. Simeon's holding salvation in his hands. But that salvation does have its complications, as he points out. He says in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what Simeon just said. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, this little child is. And they marveled at that. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, because I've been in Luke quite a bit throughout Advent, and even before that we were doing some preaching in Luke, I decided to read through Luke through December and just use that as my Bible reading. And I was struck at something Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 that made me think of what Simeon said here when he was born and being presented at the temple. And I kind of put that together with why I'm saying Christmas, it's complicated, because not everybody embraces Christmas for what it really is. And I thought about that with even in my own family, and maybe you've got families like this as well. Well, not everybody believes in Jesus. And so, you know, what's the big deal that we're celebrating Jesus' birth? You can see why that would be the case. And really, Simeon is telling us something that he prophesied when Jesus was presented in the temple, because Jesus will be the guy, will be the one, will many will rise and fall, will be a stumbling block for many, division for many. If there's one thing we've experienced throughout the past 2 years is divisiveness. There's lots of people, even families, being divided over a lot. And even Christmas sometimes becomes that division because of what it is we're celebrating at Christmas. But Simeon was reminding us that Jesus is going to do this kind of thing. That in no way should take away from the proclamation that we are called to make. It certainly didn't take it away from the angels as they proclaimed what God was doing. But Luke, in this portion, and that's why you got to read the rest of Luke, is making it unmistakable. And this is those two words I took from a commentary that I read. Simeon points out the unmistakable anticipation of the conflict that's going to come through Jesus. He is making it plain of what Jesus is going to do when he comes. And while Christmas is joyous for us, not everybody experiences it the same way. And yet we're called to make the proclamation and go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That's what we're called to do. God's mission of salvation should bring good news of great joy. That's what it ought to do. And I'm reading about Jesus' life through the Gospel of Luke during December, and I'm reading about Jesus healing people all over the place, Jesus feeding thousands of people, Jesus raising people back from the dead, just his life in ministry, and he's getting this huge crowd. Like, people love this guy. And it's almost like at the peak of when he is the most popular, famous, he could have all the nations even at this point in his ministry. He's the most famous guy there is around. In chapter 12, verse 49, and then chapter 13, he does something that seems weird to me. Like, everybody's following you. Why would you preach this message? And he says in chapter 12, verse 49, this is Jesus' words, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." And he goes on in chapter 13, my Bible heading says, "Repent or perish." If you're building a crowd, I don't know that that's what you lead with. Repent or perish. And I was reading this and thinking about this message and saying, Simeon prophesied about that even at Jesus' own birth. That this day of celebration, this joy we're called to experience, sometimes we don't experience it that way because there's division. And yet, as followers of Jesus, God calls us to continue to proclaim this message of salvation. And I was thinking about this with my own family, as I said, that not everybody is a believer. And I'm not trying to divide my family. I'm not a divisive person, I don't think. But neither do we kind of stop some of the celebrating we do because we're Christian. Our celebrations are about Jesus. And we are called to proclaim what it means that Jesus came. And we should not be ashamed of that. And we should want to go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Because it is a message of joy that salvation has come. And believe me, as a pastor, sometimes there's people I'd love to slap over the head and say, why won't you just believe? And then I don't see that Jesus is saying, now slap people eight times, and once you slap them eight times, I wish it said that. It's just not that easy. So even last night, we got home late from being with family and friends, and everybody's exhausted, and I'm thinking about today and coming here, and I'm lying awake in bed and thinking about my family members that I don't think they experienced this the same way that I do. And I'm thinking to myself, too, how do you continue to have joy when Christmas is a day in a lot of people's minds and it's over? Now what? Now what do we do? The message of salvation brings joy because of what Jesus has come to do. And yes, sometimes that brings division, but that doesn't take the joy away. And neither should it stop us or prevent us from proclaiming God's salvation through his son, Jesus. And so rather than slapping people over the head, I decided to lie awake in bed and pray for people. Maybe you were a part of some of those gatherings. Maybe there's family that does not believe, and they miss the joy that's being talked about here. And I want to encourage you to be praying for them. So before you go to bed tonight, pray for them. Christmas, of course, in just a short week ahead, New Year's Day will be celebrated, and we'll already be in 2022. By the time we come back together next Sunday, it's going to be a new year. Christmas for me, and as I was thinking about this and about this message, was a reminder for me. We are called to proclaim this message of salvation through Jesus. And we should never be ashamed of that, because though it does bring division, it is a message of great joy for all people, that God would send his own son, that Jesus would live, and you can read about his life in Luke, not just live the life we couldn't, but he would die for us. Next Sunday, we have communion. Some churches observe communion on Christmas Eve. Because Christmas for us as the church now is really a preparation for Jesus' return. And I want to encourage us, I want to encourage you as Grace Church to remember that our message is one of joy. And God is on a mission, and he's given a church for his mission. And that is to go into all the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. That God, through his great love for us, has brought joy to this world, and that joy has come through a baby. And yes, sometimes it's complicated in families, but that doesn't take the joy away. And we're called to continue to proclaim that joy until Jesus returns again. Not as a baby this time, but it will be no less celebratory when he comes. And all of heaven and earth, as I read in Psalm 148, will proclaim him as Lord. And when he comes back again, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That is good news. And that is the news we take out into this world that desperately needs it. And some of your families, some of my family desperately needs it as well. So let's live lives of joy proclaiming that good news, that message of salvation that Jesus brought on that day. Even in those difficult situations, even in those family settings, may we continue to proclaim that Jesus has been born and he lives and he will return again. So repent or perish. No, don't end with that. It does say that there, but if I'm saying I won't end with that either. I'll work it in there. But you know what I mean. It is good news. Christmas is celebratory because of the mission Jesus was on. And Simeon even points to that. That mission would lead him to a cross for you and for me. Let's continue to proclaim the joy that Jesus brings. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning for your great love for us that you have shown to us through your son Jesus, whose birth we just celebrated together. As a world, really, all over this planet, there were celebrations going on in all kinds of different languages and all kinds of different ways, because salvation has been experienced through the birth of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I know that even in our families of people here gathered, people watching at home, it's not received the same way as maybe we hope. God, I pray that you would give us a burden for our family members who don't know you. God, I pray that you would give us a motivation, reinvigorate our lives, Lord, refresh us again to see 2022 as an opportunity, Lord, to be used by you to proclaim this good news that brings great joy. God, as we depart here this morning, and next time we get together, it is going to be 2022. I pray that you would be working in hearts and minds. God, I pray that you would be continuing to give us the kind of desire that we need to go tell it on the mountaintops of the joy that can be experienced through knowing Jesus, because we know this world desperately needs some of that good news. And we have the story all about it through your Son, Jesus. So God, help us to live our lives in a way that communicates that joyful story. And we pray it in his name. Amen.